have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. You put the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony.
Well, all right, if you feel that way about it.
I do feel that way. How about you?
I don't know. Why is it just snatches it away that way?
You mean the music?
Yes.
We're going to do a whole show on that sometime.
A show.
Yes, snatching away snippets of music. Yes,
I'd like to sing during that show.
I would too, and there's a couple. I think we should all each do a food-related song.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
Yeah, it'll be the last Walt Disney show of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll dance.
If you've just tuned into this lively reverie here, this is the Walt Bodine Show. Walton is in the studio with us today, and we have an exciting panel to discuss some exciting food topics. In the second half, and this should be a lively, lively discussion, we're going to take on our don't we do this about every 6 months, 7 months or so? We talk about service.
Well, we end up talking about it sometimes when we didn't start out talking about
that's
it.
Right. And that is former IHOP waitress, Chris Pasieka.
Those were my best days.
Actually, those were my best days, too. Were you ever a waitress?
I was a grill cook.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Where?
A very small grill at a swimming pool. The lifeguards all had to take their turns grilling food. And it was then that I learned never to eat a hamburger at a swimming pool grill. That was me.
I have a vision. Were you in a swimsuit?
Well, no, you put something on over it. The world was not strong enough for my hamburgers and my body.
You're so cute. That was Christine Basica, former grill cook. And Mary Block, did you ever work in a restaurant?
I did not. No.
And explain where you are from, besides the restaurant you didn't work at.
Yes. I write the blog Around the Block, and I'm on Facebook at Around the Block, and I write the restaurant guide for the Kansas City Star.
Very good.
And don't even ask. I wanted to be at Dairy Queen on Troost, but
they wouldn't hire
Dairy
you?
Delight on Troost, but they wouldn't hire me. I was too short.
Where was the Dairy Delight?
Wait. 75th and Troost.
And they had a height requirement?
You had to see over the counter.
You had to see over the counter.
That would yeah, that would limit you right away. She's petite and adorable.
Oh boy,
Gloria Dairy Delight Gale. Where do you write for?
435 South.
Okay, and I'm Charles Ferruzza. I write for The Pitch, the restaurant reviews every week, and our blog. It's a Fat City blog accessed at pitch.com. So in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about service, but in this first half of the show, we're going to go around and talk about what new and interesting and vibrant places we have all been to, and I think we should start with the grill chef herself.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I want to talk about three places today. One is not new, but still a relatively new chef. And for the first time, I think ever, I went to lunch at Chaz on the Plaza. And
now, was it a business lunch?
It was a business lunch. And I had an absolutely fabulous, fabulous lunch. And probably, and you know how people are always calling to ask where the best Reuben in town is? Mm-hmm.
Really?
Really. I think I found it. It was fabulous. It was so, so good. You know, I had soup and salad, blah, blah, blah. But the Reuben was fabulous. May I say that again?
Okay.
Fabulous.
Homemade sauerkraut?
No, because the chef told me, why bother with that? Mm-hmm. Because it's just too much. He didn't like the way it takes up too much room, takes up too much time. He said sauerkraut is sauerkraut, but he does.
That's right, too.
Yeah, he does make his own corned beef, and it was big chunks of corned beef in that sandwich.
But was it tender? Because
it melted. Okay. It melted. It was really, really good. I was really, you know, Charles DeBlong. Yeah, okay. You know, he was at Webster House, and now he's at Chaz, and he's doing a really, really great job. And I want to mention the fact that they are doing, this is kind of an unlikely place in my mind, but they're doing Irish food on Friday and Saturday night.
Well, you said corned beef. So
yeah. I guess it's not so. And he's also making his soda bread, which has won prizes, won contests, and I'm going to go pick up a loaf on Friday afternoon.
Is that for your St. Patrick's party?
Yes. Well, no, it's going to be just after my Friday night.
Okay.
So
they also have great small plates at happy hour, and they've got good music in the lounge.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very quiet and kind of I would say intimate and romantic place.
Yeah, but not dark.
No.
You know, it feels very nice, and you can sit and kind of look out at all the flowering trees on the plaza. It was gorgeous. And the service was wonderful.
Yeah.
So this is a really good thing. The other thing I noted is Grand Street is also doing St. Patrick's. It's just interesting to me that we're all becoming Irish. You know, Grand Street is going to do something Irish this weekend. So that was a wonderful
discovery.
I have
a feeling that really maybe the only person with any Irish heritage on this table is Walt Bodine.
Now. Maybe so.
He's from the O'Bodine clan in County Cork.
I went to the opposite extreme in some ways. I went to, also for lunch, Miss Saab Pickles.
What?
Miss Saab Pickles.
How is that spelled, please?
MESOBPIKLI. Hmm. And I don't know if it's an S or a Z, honestly. And Charles, this is in your land, 3405 East Independence Boulevard.
It is, yeah.
And it is surrounded by Mexican places, and this place is Ethiopian and Haitian. And the food was gigantic. I mean, it was big portions of food. I did not do any of the Ethiopian.
Is it in a strip center of some kind, or? I'm trying to picture where it might be.
Yeah.
It's on Independence Avenue, obviously.
Yes.
Is it near the Dairy Queen?
I didn't see a Dairy Queen. I'm not as familiar as you with that part of town.
Okay.
But I know there was a pawn shop nearby. And
it is Independence Avenue,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and it was pretty far east.
East, okay.
Yeah, about a mile.
Miesob Pickles.
Miesob Pickles. And
I'll be interested if any of our listeners have been to Miesob Pickles, because I'm sure everyone who has been there has some kind of tale.
It is a wonderful little place. It is spotless. It's bright orange. The entire interior is bright orange, and I mean bright.
Well, I had my colors done. I can't go there.
You can't go because you don't look
I'm a winter,
orange.
Yeah.
But a very interesting variety of food. And, you know, I sort of looked askance at the prices, which range typically for full meals from 13.
Wait, did you actually eat there?
Oh, yeah.
What did you have?
Oh, my gosh. I had, let me look here. We had akra, which is taro.
Okay.
And we had.
That would be Haitian, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah. And we had one more appetite, catenia. Rolled strips of that injera bread, which is not my favorite, but this was delicious. They were rolled up with a spicy, meaty thing. They were
wonderful. Did you eat with your hands?
No, I did not. Mm-hmm.
She did not have her gloves with her.
But that's more on the Ethiopian side. The Haitians eat with forks, this Haitian did. I had their kifo. It was just a really, really good place. Very fun. They have an $8.95 buffet. I met a very nice man there who told me that he always comes in for the buffet. And it was a great...
Miesob Pickles has a buffet. That immediately goes into my nets. Okay.
Okay. It was
I bet you that's a lunch buffet.
Yes. Yes. And they are open every day but Tuesday, I believe, or Wednesday. To check that. The third place I went, and I'll be quicker because I'm talking way too much, I went to Sweet Siam. Thai Bistro.
I've heard about that. It's in Johnson County, correct?
It is indeed. And it's at 7809 Quivira Road. There used to be an Italian restaurant there, and now there's Sweet Siam.
Was that where Metzaluna was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I want to tell you what. I've not been to Thailand. This food I thought was delicious. I thought it was delicious. We had Thai larb, and we had fresh basil rolls. Bill got the
What is a fresh basil roll?
Well, it's an egg roll, but with a lot of basil in it and a little shrimp, but it was really good.
Okay.
Very fresh. Oh, the sauces are wonderful.
Give the address again for
it's
Sweet Siam.
7809 Quivira Road, and that is on the east side of Quivira.
In the old Metzaluna space.
Yeah.
All right.
And I just want to wonderful, wonderful food. Bill had the lamb, which was scrumptious, and the best rice I've ever had. I don't even usually like rice.
Do they serve alcohol?
They do indeed.
I knew that was
they
coming.
They have a
icing
bunch
on the cake.
Yeah. They have you know what the cake, the icing on the cake is? The icing on the cake is the coconut cake.
Oh,
I
wow.
will tell
right,
you
right,
what.
Okay.
It is
worth the trip.
It is
scrumptious.
Yum, delicious. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is so good.
Did you have a coconut martini to go with it?
No. No, I did not. I overindulged in San Diego last week, I'm trying to cut
Draw
back.
Out.
All
yeah.
right. I just want to remind our listeners, this is The Walt Bodine Show on KCUR, and we are talking about food with Mary Block, Chris Basica, and Gloria Gale. And Mary, you're next on the chopping block.
All right. I went out to Lawrence for the last home KU game, and we went to the burger stand at the Cosbah at 810 Mass Avenue. And the burger stand used to be in Dempsey's Pub,
right.
and then the Krause's moved it next door to Esquina. And I had not been there, and it was fabulous.
So noisy.
It was noisy, and it was packed. And they said it was even more packed than a typical game day. But they do a great job because you can order on the main floor or down below. They got us in and out pretty well, I thought. The hamburgers were just fabulous, as good as any you could get anywhere. I'm not as crazy about the fries because I'm a skin-on kind of gal, and these didn't have the skin. But the sweet potatoes were good, and they make all their own ketchups and sauces. And as with everything the Krause's do, I think it's a great operation.
I have, believe it or not, in the last week or so, eaten at Esquina since they changed from being a Mexican
to Mediterranean.
To Mediterranean, and the food is very, very good.
Oh. Good.
And they have now. I don't. I'm someone who does not eat paella because of all those shellfish things.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked delicious.
With enough food in it, enough seafood.
There's lots of stuff in it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good.
I think I even saw a shoe and a boot.
Oh. There's an endorsement.
Yeah.
No. Speaking of boot, Kevin in Fairway wrote in, and I want to remind you, you may write in as well to Walt Bodine Show at KCUR.org, or please call in 816-235-2888 if you want to share where you've been. But Kevin in Fairway recommends The Boot, which is the new Aaron Confessori restaurant on Westport Road. I will come up with the exact address. It's right next door to the Westport Cafe and Bar. I also ate there on Tuesday night, and it's really good. It's very simple. Meatballs, sausage, bread.
Right.
I didn't think the bread was so great, though.
I think they
need to just break down and get Roma bread.
Yes.
People love Roma bread.
I have a story about that.
Okay. Well, Mary, we'll finish with you and go to Blow.
And just to finish on the burger stand, if you're into veggie burgers, their black bean burger is awesome.
Okay.
I went, speaking of the boot, next door to Westport Cafe, which Aaron also owns, at 429 Westport for brunch last weekend. And boy, does he do a great job. It was packed. There are, you know, older people young at the early hours, and then younger people roll out of bed about noon. Mm-hmm. And they were on a wait, but they got people seated within 10 minutes. And a lot of egg dishes, biscuits and gravy, chicken hash, and you get a Bloody Mary or mimosa with each entree. It was hopping. Really
That's good.
Fun.
All right.
And then next door, also on Westport Road, it's becoming Restaurant Row.
Again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sama Zama at 425 Westport.
That's the old first one bite
grill.
One bite, yeah.
Yep. And she moved in from Overland Park. And it's got that One Bite Grill was more about the Japanese pancake, and
right.
this menu is a little bit more diverse, and I enjoyed it more. It's a sleek, modern place.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. We had a couple small plates, zucchini and tofu, and this spicy tomato sauce that was great, and an asparagus and garlic sauce, and then a couple noodle dishes.
We should note that this is the rare occasion where a restaurant has moved from Kansas into Missouri as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, that's true. But she was doing a nice business, and I think it'll be successful. And the spicy ramen noodle dish was, you know, maybe not New York, but it was really very good.
That's great.
Yeah.
I want to remind you, this is The Walt Bodine Show. You can call in at 816-235-2888 or write us at waltbodineshow at kcur.org. And Gloria, tell us your Roma bread story.
Well, I went to the boot where I happened to see Mary Block.
Yes.
And
I see her everywhere. Target,
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's.
It was fairly early. I think it was around 6:30 or something because we were going to go to a show. But anyway, the bread came in. It was It was the end of the loaf. It was stale.
You know what? Maybe that should be the book we write together, Our Lives at the End of the Loaf. Yeah.
And I asked them, I said, mm-mm. And so they brought another plating of it. But you're right. They need soft, squishy Roma bread.
Because it's all about soaking up the sauce.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. But we had pizza. It was okay. It was fine.
But it is a really charming place.
It's darling. You don't feel like you're in Kansas City. But then I went up to Zona Rosa, which was a stretch for me.
Also, it's kind of off your turf.
Off the track. But I went to Buddha, which is in Zona Rosa, and that's at 8741 Northwest Prairie View Road, excuse me. And it is just, there's a lot going on there. You can get sushi. They have a nightclub. They have a bar. There's hibachi. I mean, there's a lot going on.
It sounds, in theory, a little bit like raw sushi in Park Place. Is it sort of on that same theme where the music and the nightclub are really the dominant force?
Well, I was there at lunch, but the vibe is there were a lot of people there eating, and it was good. I had tempura and the person I was with had some shrimp doused in champagne sauce, and it was good, you know.
Is it a chain?
This is not a chain. This is an individually owned, but it's taken off of the concept. It was somewhere else. It says it's Buddha by Kenzie Fusion, and I guess Kenzie Fusion was another. I don't know exactly, but it was good.
You know, I have mixed feelings about restaurants that are named after religious figures. Can I just throw that out there? I don't want to go to a restaurant that's named after, you know, St. Rose of Lima. You know,
we'll not see you there then.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say that I did go to La Bodega out south instead of on the boulevard. And I went on a Sunday night, and they have flamenco and a Spanish guitar player who are husband and wife, I found out. It's actually a nice distraction. It's a beautiful little place. I had tapas. Also went to the farmhouse for brunch.
Have you heard the news about the farmhouse?
What?
The chef, Michael Faust, has taken over the food service at Cafe Time.
Yeah. And doing Powell some Garden. Other things with okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and I'm pretty excited about that because I love Powell Gardens. I love going out there.
Yeah, it needs to be.
But Cafe Time was never exactly a culinary destination point. So that's exciting news. Michael Faust at Cafe Time.
Yeah, I was at Taste the night they closed. They're closed.
I know. I read about that, too.
And I heard they were moving elsewhere.
Well, that remains to be seen. I talked to Jonathan Dallin, the owner, and I don't know if that's accurate. And also Trezzovino closed.
And
will reopen as something else.
Right. I think Taste is reopening as of the Peanut.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. That's correct.
And, you know, downtown Overland Park just needs another Peanut.
Exactly. And then Accursos and Zocalo, both of those I went to. And Zocalo I liked. It's very loud. It's very loud. Have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
You have. You wrote about it, I know. But I liked it. I liked our server a lot, Christian. He was great.
And we'll talk about service in the second half of the show.
Yeah, he was great.
We're always eager to hear from servers when we do a show about service because they always have 2 cents to throw in. I will say that, speaking of 2 cents to throw in, I was at, what did you just talk about? We talked about the Boot. I've been there. I liked it a lot. I like that the menu is so simple.
La Bodega.
I haven't been to La Bodega in a while. I have been to El Porton.
Yeah.
And the address of El Porton is 4671 Indian Creek Parkway in Overland Park, and that is essentially 103rd and Rowe-ish. And I believe that place actually opened as a little Mexican restaurant, but for the last 2 years, it has been a Central American, South American kind of restaurant because it's owned by the former owner of a little place that used to be in Kansas City, Kansas, called Cafe Venezuela.
Oh.
And so he's got Venezuelan dishes and Cuban dishes and Peruvian dishes, and they're all pretty damn good. I tasted a lot of things yesterday. Very meat-heavy, you know. It's not maybe the best place for vegetarians, but charming place. And they do – I hesitate to mention this in front of Christine, but I will – they currently do not have a liquor license.
Oh, well. Yeah. Okay.
I won't see you there. You know,
No caipirinhas for Christine, but they're working on that.
Okay.
Fun little play.
Let me know when.
And they have a good Cuban sandwich. I know our listeners are often looking for one, and they have a great one.
Another thing is they close every night. I mean, they're open 6 nights a week, but they're open. They close at 9. So if you want to go for a late dinner, maybe that is not the location. I asked the owner about that. His name is Jose Garcia, and he said, you know, things close up early in Johnson County. I said, not when Chris Pasica's in town.
Yeah, and I've been out, so, you know, he doesn't have liquor, so.
I know. He wondered why you hadn't been in. I said, let me ask you a question. Let's go to William in Independence. William, are you with us?
Yeah.
Thank you for holding. What is your question or your comment?
Oh, I just wanted to mention Main Street Coffee in Independence, Missouri.
Where's the address of Main Street Coffee?
I'm not exactly sure. It's on the southeast corner on Main Street.
Oh, you know what? I just passed it. Yeah, is it new?
No.
Okay.
It's been around for a little while.
Well, why would any of us want to go to Main Street Coffee? Give me a vote of recommendation.
Oh, the coffee is superb, and it's always fresh, and the service there is impeccable. I mean, they make custom orders for my girlfriend and me.
Well, you know, you can't beat a Bravo Barista. You know, that's a must for a coffee shop. Do they serve any kind of food?
Oh, yeah, they serve all kinds of food, and they make it fresh any way you want it. I know my girlfriend had a really light sandwich a few weeks back. It was a cucumber sandwich, and it was absolutely freaking delicious.
Great. Hey, William, thank you for that recommendation. We're going to need to head. I was in, actually, Independence over the weekend, but I was at, of course, a place that does not serve cucumber sandwiches. I went to Mugs Up Drive-In.
Oh.
And,
so you were a happy boy.
Yeah.
Oh, onion ring heaven, baby. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis in Kansas City.
Hi.
Hi, Dennis.
I just wanted to say I heard you reviewing the Misab Pickles.
Yeah, have you been there?
And I've been there several times, and it is such a great experience. First thing I notice is when you walk through the door, it's like you've left the Independence Avenue corridor. It's very fresh inside. White tablecloths on every table.
White tablecloths on Independence Avenue?
Yeah.
I'm fainting. Yeah. Okay. Where, Dennis, where exactly on the avenue is it?
It's 2 blocks east of Benton Avenue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. That puts it in perspective for me. Okay. And what did you eat there?
I do the buffet.
Okay.
And it's like every time I go, they've kind of changed the buffet a little bit. So you're not going back and having the same dishes every time.
That's good. That's a great way to introduce new customers to a restaurant's cuisine. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Are we all going there?
Yes. I would happily go back.
You would?
Yeah, I would.
Would you take people who didn't especially care for Ethiopian food?
Yeah, because they can eat the Haitian.
Oh, yeah.
So, And you know what? Even if you, I don't know, I kind of got the feeling that even if you don't like Ethiopian food, there's enough variety there.
Okay. Walton, we're going to take a break. When we return, we'll take your phone calls about service in Kansas City.
Service in Kansas City?
Yeah.
That's okay.
All right.
Listen to it running away.
I know it. I know it. That's a nice fade, Kim. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Walt, do you like Reuben sandwiches?
Who?
Reuben sandwiches.
Well, do I have to?
No. They're not for everybody. They happen to be a big favorite of mine, and we were talking about them earlier. Jim in Kansas City wrote in about the Martin City Brewery in Kansas City, Missouri, which I just wrote about. It's a brewery that doesn't have a brewery. And excellent Reuben's homemade sauerkraut across from Jess and Jim's.
No kidding. So,
okay, well, I can try that next. But I tell you what, Chaz is
white. We could have a whole show on Reubens. I mean, people are very passionate about their Reubens.
Well, I think we should do a sandwich show because maybe a cult sandwich show because there are certain sandwiches that people are kind of, you know, I am no longer allowed to eat fried pork tenderloins because of my cholesterol. But
what?
My cholesterol will not allow adding one more pill to my diet. But anyway, here's what we're talking about this half hour in the Walt Pudding Show. And I want to remind you that I'm here with the lovely Christine Basica, former grill cook at the swimming pool, Mary Block, who absolutely refused to wait tables, and Gloria Gale, who was too short to work at Dairy Delight.
I know. I'd rather eat at them than be sick.
Although I think you would have been a cute little waitress.
Oh, thank you, Charles.
St. Louis would never have forgotten you.
At the Steak and Shake.
I would have worked there, too. Where do you go for the best service in town? Now, I wonder, do people actually pick restaurants based on the service? I think sometimes they do.
I think great service can make a mediocre meal a whole lot better.
That's true.
I don't think it's so much you pick a restaurant for the service. I think you don't go back to a restaurant because of the service.
That is definitely true. Other question here. What should more people know about tipping? Well, for one thing, you need to know you do need to tip.
Yes.
Waiters and customers, give us a call with your horror stories or favorite stories. 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888, or shoot us an email at walpudingshow@kcur.org. And am I the only one around this table that actually did a long stint as a waiter?
Probably.
Yeah. It sounds like it. Mm-hmm. So you have a great deal more knowledge than wait.
Yes.
Well, remember, I was also the cutest busboy in the history of Indianapolis. And the most sullen, I might note. So we're waiting for your phone calls on this theme at 816-235-2888.
Here's a question for you. A couple weeks ago, we had the worst service we have ever had.
That's saying so. I mean, yeah. With a
at
capital
one
W?
One of the best places in town. Ooh. And my personal, our favorite happy hour place, I'm not going to say the name.
Wait, it's on the plaza, right?
No, it is not. And anyway, and we were sitting at the bar, surprise,
wait,
surprise.
Give me the initials of this place.
I don't want to.
No, you'll give it away.
I don't want to.
Okay.
But we were completely and totally ignored.
Why?
And
that's shocking there.
It was
absolutely
shocking.
Wait,
so
let me ask you this.
Shocking.
Did you talk to a manager?
Yes, and he said it was his fault. Because
Because
he said he was putting some numbers into the machine and blah, blah, blah. He kind of fell on his sword. But then right after that, and we tip very, very well, and we've been going there a long time, and everybody knows us except for
that waiter.
Yeah, and it was so stunning, and we're still contemplating whether we're going to go back there.
Hmm.
And let me say,
you know, every server, I know this from personal experience, has his or her bad days. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've told you before about I worked for a volatile restaurant manager and at a certain Midtown restaurant that's no longer there, and he really enjoyed screaming at me. And maybe sometimes I did deserve it, but he enjoyed screaming at me. And once I was serving some food to a table who were kind of taken aback because I was crying on their food. one of my favorite memories
day.
Of waiting
That's
tables.
So I guess I was at that same restaurant a couple weeks ago, had fabulous service. But did you tip less that night?
You know what? For the first time, and
you stiffed.
We stiffed, and we said my husband flat out refused to leave a tip, and he said to one of the other young women there who is an excellent waitress, he said, "I've never done this before in my life, but this was so bad, I am not leaving a tip, and I want you to know about it because apparently the manager doesn't care that much."
Whoa.
Okay. The switchboard is filling up on this volatile theme at 816-235-2888. And let's go to Sally in Kansas City, Missouri. Sally?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Sally.
Thanks for having me.
Are you a server?
I am a server.
All right.
Good.
I'm calling in just to make a comment that a lot of times guests don't understand that we don't usually make an hourly wage.
Make an hourly wage, but it's usually pitiful
exactly.
hourly wage.
We do get an hourly wage, but it's usually about $3.25, and after taxes, my paychecks are close to zero. So that tipping part of the meal is very important for servers. So I just wanted to make that little comment.
Sally, I like that comment, and I'm sure you have heard this over the years, although you sound very young, but as a waiter, I used to hate people saying to me, I don't know why they don't in America. They just don't do it as they do it in Europe, where the tip is included. You know, I would like that too, but that's just not the American way. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a free market system.
Yeah, I wonder why we grew up that way. I mean, I wonder why that is that way.
I don't know.
Well, and I like the idea that the guest decides how well
right,
I did.
Right. I mean,
that, yeah. that motivates me to do better.
But it's like gambling, you know, every night's a new night that, you know, you're hoping that the gamble pays off. So, we'll talk more about that. Let's go to Karen. Karen.
Hello. Well, it's a lovely day out, and we just wanted to tell you about the most beautiful service we got at the Aladdin Cafe, I guess it is, on 39th Street.
Yeah.
Oh, it was very personal, very caring. The gentleman was very attentive, but unobtrusive at the same time.
That's an art.
Mm-hmm. Perfect service. Just, and he didn't ask you if you liked something with you, when your mouth was full. I really like that.
You know, one thing I've noticed about that place is they're very gracious about carryout orders there. Very gracious.
Oh.
And that's harder to find. You know,
yeah.
Servers don't like to do carryout orders. Mm-hmm. I didn't. So, mm-hmm. Well, that's good news, Karen. Thank you for that. Aladdin on 39th Street. How about Kim in Overland Park?
Hi. My comment's a little different. I have celiac disease.
Okay.
So I have, I cannot have anything with gluten in it. And I've been to a couple of restaurants recently where they just took such amazing care to make sure that my food was not cross-contaminated. The servers and washed their hands before bringing my food out. It's just really great. Sheridan's, the Unforked, was awesome. The Jack Stack on an Overland Park on Metcalf. Both of those places were just absolutely fabulous.
Can I? I don't want to derail this as a gluten-free show because we can do that later this year, I guess. But two restaurants I want to throw out to you. One is Pandolfi's Deli, which does dinner on Friday and Saturday nights. Has actually a surprising gluten-free array of dishes. And the place I was talking about, the Central American place El Portón in Overland Park. They have quite a few gluten-free things, much to my surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So, including gluten-free sandwiches, so you can stop in there and just eat.
That's great. Well, also, I'm excited to try the Ethiopian restaurant you were mentioning earlier because most Ethiopian food is naturally gluten-free.
So there is no gluten in the injera bread?
Teff is a gluten-free grain, yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, okay, we're on our way there. All right. Mm-hmm. That was Kim. The telephone number here is 816-235-2888. We are talking about service. Is this my friend, David?
This is Charles. How are you today?
I meant to call you this morning and remind you to call in. This is David Hayden, who is the author of a book on tipping called Tips for Tips. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
And you have several blogs where, in one of them I know, service is the theme.
Correct. TipSquared.com is all four servers about how to improve their service and give guests the service they deserve to get the tip that the server wants.
That's a good topic. What's one quick hint? What one thing should all servers do?
Well, you know, the key to it, in my mind, you want to like the guests. You know, the guests had the good choices of wisdom. They were smart enough and showed the character and class to come into the restaurant that you have the character and class to work at. That already makes them great in my book. That already says something great about them, says something great about me, and so we should like each other. Guests want to know that their server, you know, they don't want their server to sit down and have a meal with them, but they want the server to appreciate that they're there and to like them, and that makes the server more likable in return.
David, I may have told you this before, but when I started waiting tables way, way, way back in the 1970s, this old veteran waiter told me that the secret to his success was he treated every single table as if they were relatives.
Oh, dear.
No.
Oh, that was good?
Yeah, because,
good.
Because he said, you know, with your relatives, you have to be nice to them. You have to appreciate them.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
You know, and you have to love them in some fashion. So no matter how horrible they were.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Okay, David. Since we have you on the line, I'm going to throw a question at you from one of our listeners. John in Greenwood wants to know, what is the general rule on tipping on carryout?
You know, this is a really tough topic. And,
you've written about it.
Yeah, and even restaurant people radically disagree on this topic because. You know, if you leave 20%, then that's kind of insulting to the people who wait on you for an hour and a half.
Right.
But at the same time, often to-go orders are being handled by a server who's having to take time away from their tables, who's having to take time away from their guests that, you know, they're kind of looking for that sort of range on in order to help the person who's taking to-go orders, or to help a guest who's receiving a to-go order. My rule of thumb is I leave, personally, $1 per entree plus $1.
Oh, okay. Oh. Does that average out about 10% then?
You know, it depends on how much you order. But generally, $1 per entree plus $1, you know, kind of compensates for the time it takes to package it without overcompensating, because, you know, it's really a 5-minute transaction while you're in the restaurant and a 10-minute transaction ahead of time getting everything together and making sure the order's accurate.
David, I have a question. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
What do you think about people who tip on just the base rate and not the tax?
You know, what I always say to that, and the way I had to work to develop an opinion on it, but what I've determined is that when I have to tip out to the busser, when I tip out to the bartender, to the food runner, to all the other people who I have to share your tip with, who get a portion of the tip you leave, because of the way that most restaurant systems are set up, I tip on the tax as well. So they receive a portion of that money based on the after-tax amount. And so because of that, I sure do appreciate when guests tip the same way, because that's how the money's coming out of my pocket.
Mm. Good, good.
Because you'll see a lot of people who just tip on
Well, and that's the traditional
the
way,
right.
is on the base mm-hmm. without the tax.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you know.
From a perception standpoint, it still seems, you know, because when you read that at the end of the day, a 20% tip before tax still looks like an 18% tip.
Hmm.
Okay. And last question, David, we'll throw at you here is, and you know my opinion on this already, but what do you tip on wine? Some people don't like to tip a percentage on the wine on their bill because it can be high. Mm-hmm. You know, expensive bottle of wine is, you know, that's an expensive commission. I say you do tip on it, but some people say no. What do you think?
Well, you know, I can see that there's a sliding scale when it comes to, you know, $200, $300, $400, $500 bottles of wine. What's more common is the $30 to $40 bottle of wine. And what that does is it offsets cocktails, it offsets other drinks that you would have had that I assume that most people would tip on those drinks when they're on their bill. So it's almost like by ordering the bottle of wine that I have to bring the tableside, present, you know, retrieve from the cellar, polish the wine glasses, pour throughout the meal. To not tip on that seems like almost a way of trying to find a reason not to tip rather than just doing as you would normally. Because it's really no less work for the server. It's in many cases, mm-hmm. it's more work for the server.
Oh yeah,
I
used to open bottles of wine, it was a performance. It was a
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
brilliant
yeah.
performance.
Even with that electric opener,
I wish I had one.
And I'm still tipping the bartender on that. I'm still tipping the bussers on that, and the food runner, and all those other people as well.
That's great. I love the fact that you did bring out the tipping out, which most customers don't know about because, you know, you do tip. Traditionally, you always tip out to the bartender and to the busboy. I worked in a restaurant once where we actually had to tip out to the dishwasher and the manager. So by the time I got home, I had 13 cents. So, yeah, it's an interesting tradition. Hey, David, thank you. Give us your website again.
Well, the main website that guests can go to learn more about this is hospitalityformula.com.
Hey, that's great. Thanks, David Hayden.
Thank you. You have a great day.
All right. Carl in Leavenworth writes, remember when you were having food delivered, like I guess pizza, if the service was good, please tip your driver.
That seems fair.
Okay, oh, yeah, sure. I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some companies charge a delivery fee, and people believe that the driver gets that, but usually the driver only gets a portion of it or nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's a scandal.
It's kind of like putting your bags in at the...
Uh-huh, right. I drive part-time in Leavenworth for a major chain, and it's irritating to take an order for $60 to $100 worth of food. The customer charges it does not leave a tip, and I give the best service I can give, but no tip. I say you'd always tip your driver.
Yep.
Always.
Yeah. Always.
Let's see. What about another question at waltpuddingshow@kcor.org? And yes, we are still taking your calls at 235-2888. But these questions are coming in on the internet. What about tipping with counter service? Like, say, not eating at the counter, but picking up an order at the counter, like the filling station or, you say, tomato. I always tip on counter service. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's no difference between that and carry out, really.
That's what I think. Yeah. And about the same way you percentage. Amy in Westport asks, what about tipping an over-attentive waiter, someone who checked in on your small table way too many times and clearly put a lot of work into your table, but you didn't order a large amount of food or drink?
I think that's subjective. I mean, yeah. If you like, go away.
I don't think you take a punitive action with the tips. I mean, if your traditional way is to tip 15 to 20%, you still tip 15 to 20%, and maybe you put a note on the bill saying a little over attentive.
Although I will say that I have often left a much larger tip if I have taken up a table for a really long time and haven't been eating or drinking.
Or good can point. I put another point? Add another point to that, which is late tables. If you're coming to a table or if you're coming into a restaurant at 10 o'clock and they stop serving at 10 o'clock, and you're making the server stay over his usual shift time, you really should overcompensate.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're still taking your questions. This is Keith in Kansas City. Keith,
hi.
You have a good question for us.
Yes, if you go to a dinner theater. And, you order desserts and drinks. The only bill you get at the end of the meal is for the drinks and the dessert.
Right.
Right.
What portion do you tip if it's a buffet? You're getting up, you're going through, getting your own food, coming back. They're taking care of the dirty dishes, things like that. What percentage do you tip on the original ticket price, or how do you do that?
No, not the ticket price. I'll let you all weigh in on this.
I tip on what I've eaten and drunk.
Right. I mean,
that the food is included in that original ticket price.
So let's say the dessert and the drink bill comes to $25. I would leave five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All
right. But I think he was saying because you also ate dinner. And they took care of your plates and.
I mean, that never hurts to leave more.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, you should leave at least 10 to 20%. You know.
Yeah.
So, but that's a great question. I think people think when they get an all-inclusive kind of deal that the tip may be included and it's not.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Okay. Felix in Lee Summit.
Hi. Hello.
How are you?
I'm calling. I was a waiter for 5 years at a couple of very, very nice places. I'm going to try to say this as politically correctly as possible. I love public radio, but I'll say it politically correctly. In Detroit, Michigan, my hometown. And there was a certain group that was famous for never tipping. My daughter is now a waiter in Kansas City in one of the finest restaurants in Kansas City after graduating from college. She has experienced the exact same thing.
Well, that's because...
Is this a sex that you're talking about is not tipping?
No, a particular race.
Oh.
You know what? That is an old wives' tale in service, and I've been a waiter in many cities. And
But he's saying it's been true for both him and his daughter.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really want to open that Pandora's box, but, let me just say this. I used to say that women were the worst tippers.
Thank you, Charles.
Until I got stiffed by a couple of men. Good. So, yeah. And then I started liking my female customers with, more intensity. So that is interesting. And, I don't know. I think it's unfair to make a sweeping generalization.
Do we have any questions that aren't on tipping? Because this is
good point.
Veered over into just a tipping show as opposed to a service show.
I don't know, but I think you should call in and join the conversation at 816-235-2888 because we're coming almost to the top of the hour and we're going to have to tip out, as it were. What is your favorite waiter story, Chris, because you've eaten in a lot of restaurants?
I find generally that waiters are very, very, very nice, very attentive. I don't necessarily need to know their name, I will say. Mm-hmm. But I have also said, hey, Kent, can you, you know, but I have not run into bad service very, very often. I've run into sort of glum service, but I thought there was an article recently in the Wall Street Journal that talked about how, or was it in the Star, how waiters have to read the table.
Right. And as a former waiter, let me just say this. You, if you're good, if you've done it for a while, if you get the vibe immediately. The vibe is, right, don't bother me. You know,
we're fighting.
We're fighting.
Right.
Those are my favorite tables.
Right. Yeah.
because there was a lot of good guilt tipping, you know. you know, or you know, conversely, you know, some people, we want to be entertained.
Yes.
Yeah. We are bored with each other. Entertain us.
Well, we do always ask the waiter, what is your recommendation? Mm-hmm. We want them to have an opinion. And when they say, oh, everything's wonderful, I want to go, pshh. And then I say, what would you give to your mother? What would you tell your mother to order?
I would never oppose that. Oh, my gosh. You know,
I assume most people like their mothers, Charles.
It's... I would never order what my mother wanted to eat. Let me just put it that way. Okay. I dig that.
I mean, I do want advice. If it's a new restaurant, and especially if we're in a new town, I want advice. What's the best thing?
Okay, let's take this call because we're running out of time. Rachel and Olathe, what is your story?
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Real quick on the tip thing, my rule of thumb is if I go get it, I don't tip you. If you bring it to me, I do tip you. And I think I tip well, at least 20%. Good. The other thing, expanding off of the tip subject, is just the service in general. Anywhere that I go, if I get good service, I make sure that I ask for the manager on duty, and I make sure that they know that I really got great service. And I think that's something that we don't do a lot of, is we expect it. And I think to an extent you should expect it, you know. You know, because it's their job. But at the same time, you know, they're human beings. They have lives, and their job doesn't, you know, rule their world. So I think we all need to maybe be a little bit more cognizant about the fact that if you really got good service, you know, take that extra step and talk to the manager and say, hey, I want you to know that your employee did a great job, and I would like for you to know this.
That's great advice.
Now, Rachel, are you a server or a former server?
I've had food jobs in the past, but not a whole lot of them.
Okay.
And the few that I did made me sort of appreciate that. But, you know, with any job, I think that, you know, if you take that job, you know, do your best and understand that if it's really making you miserable, you might need to find another job.
Yeah, you're right. Good point. Let's go to Jan in Shawnee. Jan, you have some last words for us?
Well, yes, I love it when the waiter comes back and says, I'm having them brew a fresh pot of coffee for you, that I know it's going to be fresh and hot.
That's
and
nice.
If I do get a cup that's warm and I ask that they please do a fresh pot for me and they do that, that's very much appreciated.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Especially if you're in a place kind of between shifts or it's between lunch and dinner. You know that coffee is dead, and they brew a pot for you. Let's see. Rayla wrote in at walpodingshow@kcor.org. Regarding tipping at dinner theater, the new theater restaurant recommends that you tip $3 per person.
Oh.
I'm sure more is appreciated, and I think that's a good rule of thumb. Jim writes, did you know that kitchen help cannot be included in tip-outs by federal regulation unless they perform service in the customer area, busing or serving? I didn't know that, but that didn't stop me from tipping those dishwashers. Let's take one more quick call. Don in Westport.
I had read a Charles Berusa review.
Uh-oh.
Raving about the coconut cake at Yusei Tomato. So I went there immediately, and they were out of it. So they said, well, give us your name and phone number, and we'll call you as soon as we have it. And I thought, yeah, they'll never do that. But a couple of days later, they called and said, we have coconut cake today.
Now that is what I call service.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's great that you're
spreading the word. And how was it?
Yeah, how was the cake?
It was really good.
All right.
Try Sweet Siam next for their coconut cake.
Ooh, I'm going to make
it. Is it untraditional in some fashion?
It is just so moist. It's not at all like the Jasper's coconut cake, which I think is a very good coconut cake. I think that's really good. It's just wonderful. It is. They could lose. It's setting on some chocolate sauce, which they could lose. But it's so good.
All right. Hey, thank you, Don. Well, you know, do we have time for one more call?
Okay.
Let's try this. Elizabeth in Kansas City.
Yes. When I go into a restaurant, I'm very thirsty most of the time.
like
not diabetic person. But I always let the waiter or waitress know that. And if they are attentive to that, I always tip extra.
That's very good. Yeah. That's very good. And, you know, as when I was a waiter, I really did try to be really attentive to people who did have issues. It was hard sometimes, you know, allergy issues.
Yeah, sure.
I would go into the kitchen and find out what they couldn't. Yeah. But once when I was working in an Italian restaurant, this woman asked that, I'm allergic to garlic. What could I eat here? And I said, the ice cream. All right. Let's go to Eric in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Great show. And I happen to have recalled an acronym for tipping, and I looked it up on my iPhone. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's to ensure prompt service.
To ensure and insist prompt service, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. And if you want to train a waiter, send them to New York to the Greek diners.
You know what? That's yeah, that's good. Or in my case, International House of Pancakes. Okay. Thank you all for your calls and your attention. What a good show. You can subscribe to the Walt Bodine Show podcast and find archives of our past shows by visiting kcor.org and clicking on the Walt Bodine Show. Our show is produced today by Andrea Salenzi. Our announcer is Kim Noble. Thanks to Mary, Christine, and Gloria, the food critics. And thanks to everybody who called in today. I'm Charles Ferruza, and this is the Walt Bodine Show. Enjoy your day.
That's the way it goes.